All right, get your Bibles and let's open them now to the book of Job. Job chapter number 34 and 35. Job chapter 34 and 35. This will be Elihu's second and third speeches. So in the book of Job, we know that the largest section is the dialogue section where the three friends, Job makes a comment, the three friends make a comment, Job replies, and it happens in three cycles. And Job then gives, you know, his defense, his final defense. And now we entered into Elihu's ministry, and what a mixed bag Elihu turns out to be. He claims to be the one that will minister to Job and won't be heavy-handed towards him. Well, I think he forgot that in chapter 34 and 35. And maybe he got embroiled in his own speech. So Elihu will give four speeches. So how do we know there are four speeches? Well, look at Job chapter 32, verse 6, for example. Job 32, verse 6, "And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said," there it is, answered and said. That's speech number one. Now go to chapter 34, verse number 1. Chapter 34, verse 1. "Furthermore, Elihu answered and said." Now that's the second speech. Go to chapter 35, verse 1. This will be the third speech. "Elihu spake moreover and said." There you have Elihu said. That will be speech number 3. Chapter 36 and verse 1 will be the fourth speech. "Elihu also proceeded and said." And so that will conclude Elihu's four speeches. And he'll go on to chapter 37 as still Elihu. So Elihu's quite, nobody's replying to him, nobody's saying anything. Job is listening, although of course he'll end up accusing Job eventually here, we're going to see that. And his accusation to Job differs from the three friends, because the three friends basically said, the reason why you're suffering is because of some sin in your life. And we know the testimony of Job. We know what the Lord said in chapter 1 concerning the character of Job. He's not in sin. He's not hiding sin. He really is suffering without a cause. So we saw all that already. Now Elihu's different because Elihu is saying, and the reason why you're suffering is because God is trying to discipline you, to prevent you from sinning. But at the same time, Job, you're not getting punished because of a past sin. You're getting punished now because of the sin that we found in you now, which there's multiple sins that Elihu will charge Job with. One would be rebellion. The other would be pride. You have rebellion, you have pride in your heart. And, it's true, half true, that Job has rebellion and pride in his heart. Every one of us has rebellion and pride in our hearts, innately, naturally. So that's not necessarily true for Elihu to charge Job that because of the testimony of God concerning Job. And so how do we deal with Elihu? What do we think about Elihu? God doesn't rebuke him. Job doesn't respond to him. So I would say Elihu is like a good man who gave bad advice. Or do good people sometimes make mistakes and say wrong things? Well, I could think of, I could think of Sarah. Remember Sarah and Abraham? Abraham and Sarah? Okay, what did Sarah advise Abraham so that they can have a seed promise? What did she say? Yeah, go take Hagar. Now, is that godly advice? No. Is she a godly woman? Yeah, she's a good woman. She's a godly woman. So just because somebody is godly doesn't mean they're right. Look at, let's see. You remember Peter? Remember Peter? So Jesus said, okay, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. And what did Peter say? No, Lord. No. So is Peter a good man? Yes. Is Peter wrong in his advice? Yes. So if Job is a picture of Christ, then I would say Elihu is a picture of a believer who is well-meaning and who is a good man, but gives bad advice or wrong charge against Job. Whereas Job's three friends could very easily stand for the Pharisees and the scribes who charged Jesus with sin, and we know Jesus is without sin. And so it's amazing that Job had to endure his three friends on top of his physical problem, on top of his family death, on top of his financial economic collapse, on top of enduring a grieving wife, on top of enduring a good man like Elihu. So we see the patience of Job in all of this as well, enduring a good man. And he doesn't rebuke Elihu. He suffers Elihu. He just endures Elihu because I believe that Elihu's heart is correct. He's in the right. His heart is in the right place. Certainly his theology will come out as we look at this tonight. You're going to see some really excellent biblical theological thinking about God. The only problem is he's misapplying that to Job. All right? And so let's look at Job chapter 34. This will be Elihu's second speech, the second speech. And he begins with the same way he began the first speech. I'm going to quote some of what you said, Job, and then I'm going to refute some of what you said. So chapter 34, verse number, let's read chapters 34, 1 to 9, then we'll pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Chapter 34, verses 1 to 9. Furthermore, Elihu answered and said, "Hear my words, O ye wise men, give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge," speaking, of course, to Job and his three friends. "For the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat." And that's really what we should be doing. We should be testing words. Just like, you know, when you eat, you taste the flavor and you're testing the flavor. It needs a little more salt. Oh, it needs a little more of this. Well, when somebody's preaching or teaching or witnessing, we should be listening and trying and testing the words, if they are the words of the Lord or if they just made it up. So that's a good practice. Elihu's on the right here. "Let us choose us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good." This is good. "For Job hath said, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression." What man is like Job who drinketh up scorning like water? You ever met anybody like this guy? Man, he just likes suffering. Look at him. He just drinks in judgment. "Which goeth in company with the workers of iniquity and walketh with wicked men." So here is a false charge against Job. Job, obviously you're walking with wicked men. Well, maybe Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar are wicked. Absolutely, because they really misrepresented the Lord and misrepresented Job. And maybe he is in company with them. They are his friends. verse 9, "For he had said, it profiteth a man nothing that he should delight himself with God." Meaning to say, if I'm right with God, it doesn't make God better. If I'm in sin, it doesn't make God better or the worse. So nothing changes with God. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. And that's not true. And furthermore, Job had nothing to say about that. Job never said anything like that. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We know that this is certainly a challenge to look at Elihu's second speech and third speech and try to make the sense of this, Lord. Well, I do believe that good people sometimes are in the wrong, and this is where Elihu is. And I pray that we would gain the good things that we can from it, and that we would be made aware of the bad things so that we do not repeat it and don't follow that. We ask that you bless us, Lord. We thank you for the word of God. Speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So there are two things that Elihu quoted Job on in verse number 5. 34 verse 5. For Job had said, I am righteous and God taken away my judgment. Meaning to say, God, you're supposed to show up and give me my day in court. And he hasn't shown up and he's not giving me my judgment. He's not rendering me a verdict. He's not defending me like he should be defending me. Now, did Job say, I am righteous? Well, let's look at chapter 2. Keep your finger in 34. Go to chapter 27 and verse number 6. Chapter 27 and verse number 6. This is the closest we get to Elihu's quote. He quoted Job. He said, Job said, I am righteous. Well, what did Job say? Job 27 verse 6. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. So Job is saying, my righteousness I will hold fast. I'm going to stick to this. I know to do right. I'm going to do the right thing no matter what. I will not let it go. I will not sin against the Lord. Okay, so in a sense, he's saying, I am righteous or I am innocent. So let me ask you a question. Is Job innocent or is he in sin? He's innocent, right? Is he a citizen or is he a mafia? No, he's innocent. He's righteous. We have the record of God. That's why we know Job's heart. If God did not reveal the character of Job in chapter 1, we would have no way of discerning his heart. It's the same way with Lot. Remember Abraham and Lot? If Peter didn't say that Lot was a righteous man, we would look at Lot and say, how could you treat your daughters like that? How could you treat your family like that, living in Sodom? And then being a mayor or a captain in Sodom, you're not a saved man. Of course, we can easily judge him like that. And the Bible puts a big question mark. You know, Paul put a big question mark to the Galatian Christians because they were so easily moved from the message of the gospel. And so God had said Job was an upright man, perfect, and escheweth evil, and so on, and so many good words about Job that we know that Job said, my righteousness, I lay hold on it, I will not depart from it. So yes, in a sense, he did say that, and there's nothing wrong with saying that if it's true, because he's a man of integrity. But Elihu takes offense to that and says, you know what? There's no righteous man among us. We're all in sin. We're all sinners. Is that true? Are we all sinners? Yes, we're all sinners, of course. That's like number one truth that we have to realize. But practically speaking, Job was definitely perfect, upright, and eschew of evil. All right, his second charge, chapter 34, verse 5, God hath taken away my judgment. Well, chapter 27, Job chapter 27, and verse number 2. Job chapter 27, verse 2, this is what Job actually said. As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment? So did Job really say that God took away his judgment? Yes. What does that mean? God took away my opportunity for defending myself and him defending me. God is not showing up to defend me, and I'm expecting the Lord to do that. Lord, where are you? You know, sometimes when suffering hits us, we always wonder, where is God? What happened here? What's going on? When are you going to vindicate me? When are you going to defend me and finally give me my release? And God hasn't shown up. So God took away my judgment. So chapter 34, verse 6, here's another one. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. So here I am judged, and I'm without sin, and yet I'm being judged. Well, go to chapter 23, verse 11. Did Job say that? Chapter 23, verse 11. So you can see Elihu's a good listener because he's quoting Job and what Job had said. None of his friends actually quoted him correctly, but Elihu did quite accurately. 23 verse 11, my foot hath held his steps, his way I have kept. So there's that idea of not transgressing and not decline. So I'm doing the right thing, I'm staying on the right track, I am not transgressing the law of God. I am without transgression, and yet I'm being judged. I'm being afflicted. What's going on here? So let me ask you a question. Is Job the only one who is without cause that is suffering judgment? No, there's a couple more characters in the Bible that are without sin and experience judgment. One of them is King David. He suffered without a cause. And the other one is the greater David, the greater son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate one who suffered without a cause, and certainly without sin, without transgression. Go back to Job 34, verse 9. Job 34, verse 9. We're looking at Elihu's rebuke on Job and his quoting Job. Chapter 34, verse 9. For he had said, it profited a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. All right, so the closest we get to this is chapter 9. Job chapter 9, verse 22. Let's go to Job 9, 22. Job 9, 22. This one thing, therefore, I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. All right, so did Job actually say that if a man is in sin, that it doesn't do anything to God, and if he's right, it doesn't do anything to God? No. He didn't say that at all. So there, Elihu is wrong. But what Job said is this. He said that God would destroy both the perfect and the wicked. All right? So is it so that God brings judgment to both the righteous and the wicked? Does God do that? Oh, I thought maybe if you're saved and you're right, that God won't judge you anymore. No, if you're saved and born again and you sin against the Lord, God chastises his children. Amen? They're still saved. They're still born again. But God chastises his children. That's a form of judgment. Now, it's not severe judgment. It's not judgment, you know, that's condemning you to hell. But man, that's a loss of rewards. That's a loss of opportunity. That's a loss of blessings. So yes, God judges and destroys both the wicked and the righteous and the perfect. But it's not true what Elihu is implying here, that, you know, whether verse 9, it profited a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. Well, that's not true. If you delight yourself with God, God will delight in you. You see, if you reject the Lord, he will reject you. If you love him, he will love you. If you delight in him, he will delight in you. So Elihu is off there attributing that to Job. Now let's go to verse 10, chapter 34, verse 10 to 17. And notice here how Elihu defends the justice of God. This is part of Elihu's theology on the justice of God. Chapter 34, verse 10 to 17. Therefore, hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. So God doesn't commit iniquity. God God is not unfair in his dealings with men. Verse 11, for the work of a man shall he render unto him and cause every man to find according to his ways. God's going to reward you according to your ways. That's true. That's absolutely true. If you honor the Lord, he'll honor you. If you curse the Lord, he'll curse you according to your ways. Verse 12, yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Is that true? Absolutely. God will not do wickedly, neither will he, the Almighty, pervert judgment. Listen, whatever the judgment of God is, it's always true, it's always faithful, and it's always good. And it's right. Verse 13, who hath given him a charge over the earth, or who hath disposed the whole world? If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. If now thou hast understanding, hear this, hearken to the voice of my words, shall even he that hateth right govern? Wilt thou condemn him that is most just? So we have no right to condemn God. If there's one governor, one leader who is right, and true, and justice, and just, it's God. And so Elihu is correct here, absolutely correct, defending the justice of God. Now, look at the power of God. So Elihu focuses a lot on the Lord. Verse number 18 to verse number 30. Verse number 18, notice the power of God. Is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to the prince... Princes, ye are ungodly. How much less to him that accepteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor, for they are all the works of his hand. Are we going to look at God and say, Lord, you're wrong. You're in the wrong. No, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do that. In a moment, verse 20, they shall die. That's that. Sinners who charge God wrong, God will judge. They shall die. And the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away. The mighty shall be taken away without hand, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. So God's eyes are everywhere present, beholding the evil and the good. He sees man. There's no darkness nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. So you think you're not being seen, but God sees everything. For he will not lay upon man more than right, that he should enter into judgment with God. He shall break in pieces the mighty men without number and set others in their stead. See, God could replace us. If we think we're something, we're so important, God really needs us. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. It is an honor and a privilege to serve the Lord. And we should do all we can to serve him. But man, the minute we think that we're the thing, we're the main thing, God can put us aside easily and bring up another one. Therefore, he knoweth their works, and he overturneth them in the night, so that they are destroyed. He striketh them as wicked men in the open sight of others, because they turned back their back from him, would not consider any of his ways, so that they cause the cry of the poor to come unto him. And he heareth the cry of the afflicted. You see that? Be careful how you treat people. Because if they cry unto the Lord because of your mistreatment of them, God is going to judge. He giveth quietness. When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? When he hideth his face, who then can behold him? Whether it be done against a nation or against a man only. So you look the extent of this. If you sin against God nationally, or you sin against God personally, it doesn't matter. God brings judgment. Verse 30, that the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared. So that's all the work of God and his power in judging man. Now, here's Elihu's opinion of man, his anthropology, 31 and 32. Surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. If God judges you, isn't it natural to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent? And Lord, if you teach me the right thing, I won't repeat it again. I'm not going to do it again. That's how you know a person is repentant. Yung tunay na nagsisisi, kapag siya ay nahatulan, tatanggapin niya yung hatol at mangangako siya, hindi na ako babalik sa dati. I will not do that again. And that's the nature of man. And remember what Jesus said, go and sin no more. So if you know the Lord has spared you and you've repented of God's judgment, don't repeat the offense or you're in bigger trouble because you know better. All right, 33 to 37, Elihu reproves Job's words against God. Should it be according to thy mind, will he recompense it, whether thou refuse or whether thou choose? And not I, therefore speak what thou knowest. Let men of understanding tell me, let a wise man hearken unto me. Job had spoken without knowledge. Now this is funny. Job spoke without knowledge, and his words are without wisdom. So Elihu said this, Job is speaking, but he doesn't know what's going on. Well, let me ask you a question. Does Elihu know what's going on? No. Did Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz, did they know what was going on? No. The book of Job, none of them knew what was going on. They were all speaking words without knowledge. So what happened? In heaven, Satan came to God and said, the reason why Job is serving you is because you blessed him. Remove the blessing and he will curse you to your face. So God said, go ahead, do it. Does Job know that? No. Does his wife know that? No. His friends know that? No. Elihu? No. But Elihu is very self-righteous here, you know? Like Job, he's speaking words without knowledge. I know. Job doesn't know. So, this is humorous here. What a twist. Verse 36. My desire is that Job may be tried unto the end because of his answers for wicked men. Okay, so I sure hope that God tests Job because I want Job to see the error of his ways. For he addeth rebellion to his sin. Whatever his sin is that got him in this state of judgment from God, he adds rebellion to it, that Job is a rebel. We're trying to help you, Job. We're trying to talk to you, and you're maintaining your innocence. You're a rebel, Job. So, and again, Job could have very easily spoke, but he knew Elihu was a good man, just in the wrong. And he endures this harsh criticism. He clappeth his hands among us and multiplieth his words against God. Well, who's multiplying words now? Elihu. He's going to keep on going too. Chapter 35. And this is only short, so we'll finish 35. So let's take a look at this. Let's see. Elihu's third speech. He's multiplying words without knowledge. He's going to carry on. Elihu spake moreover and said, thinkest thou this to be right, that thou might said, my righteousness is more than God's? Where? Let me ask you a question. Where did Job say, my righteousness is more than God? It's not there. Job never said that. So you see, Elihu is now multiplying words to himself, speaking without knowledge. For thou said, what advantage will it be unto thee, and what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin? He said, nothing of that kind neither. I will answer. So now, Elihu's basically saying this, Job, you know why God hasn't answered your prayers yet? It's because you're rebellious, not just because you're self-righteous, but also because you have pride. And the way you respond to God, the way you approach God, you're not approaching Him the right way. Well, is there a right way to approach the Lord? Yes, there's a right way to approach the Lord. We approach the Lord in humble boldness because of Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ, we have no access to the Lord. And so, You know, when you go address a mayor or a king or a president, I mean, I could, you know, even though they're not impressive, you still have to give some respect, not to the person, but to the office. All right? So you don't treat somebody mean. There is always a proper way to address people, and certainly the Lord. So look at verse number 4. I will answer thee and thy companions with thee. Look into the heavens and see and behold the clouds which are higher than thou. And by the way, this is all meteorology. Elihu is going to use meteorological terms and showing the greatness of the Lord and the smallness of man. And this will also be something that the Lord will use later in the Lord's speeches against Job when the Lord finally speaks. And so Elihu is a bridge between Job and his friends and the Lord. So his friends spoke, Job spoke, Elihu's speaking now, and then after Elihu will be the Lord. In fact, it's funny because I think the Lord cuts off Elihu and just comes right in. Because Elihu just carries on and on and on. The eternal Elihu. So, look unto the heavens and see, and behold the clouds which are higher than thou. Verse 6, if thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? If thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him? Or what receiveth he of thine hand? Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit a son of man, the son of man. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry, and they cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. But none saith, where is God my maker who giveth the songs in the night? Their songs in the night is a term of joy. God gives us joy even in the darkest moments of life. So, where is God my maker who gives me the song in the night? So basically he's putting words in Job's mouth too. As Job's asking for comfort and not seeing it. Verse 11, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the fowls of heaven? There they cry, but none giveth an answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. So if you're proud, does God hear you? No, he shuns the proud. He lifts up the humble and he stiffs arms the proud. Although thou sayest thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore trust thou in him. But now, because it is not so, he hath visited in his anger, yet he knoweth it not in great extremity. Therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain, and multiplieth words without knowledge. So Job, you're just talking now. But Job's quiet, and Elihu's been talking. So there you have, what a conundrum, what a twist this Elihu is. All right, so is he successful in comforting Job? No, not really. Is he right in his theology? Yeah, interesting. He's correct in his theology, but boy, he just misapplies it to Job. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words. We thank you that we ought to try the words of men against the words of God and take for us the words of God. And I pray that we would learn to comfort those that are hurt with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted with, Lord, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Not speaking words without understanding and knowledge. And help us to speak true, faithful, wholesome words. The words and sound words. Words that can heal and restore. And words that can thank and affirm and praise the Lord instead. Help us not to follow some of the bad examples of Elihu. Help us to follow some of his good examples, I pray. And that you bless us tonight, Lord, as we walk through this book. We thank you for these biblical truths in Jesus' name. Amen.